Alright, there's gotta be something on.
They say the word shit like 100 times.
You make the bully drink piss.
Whoa!
What is this exactly about?
Sean's parents are basically on the verge of a divorce.
We'll come back to bite them in the ass later.
I always wonder, like, why was it always that kid's problem?
Did you see that?
But I'm sure I'm quite drunk enough to see Meet the Beatles.
Of course, yeah. Nobody saw it. You know why? Because no one saw this movie.
It's like Avenue Q, only worse.
Yeah, it was definitely a rental for me.
On 3D, plus the IMAX 3D, plus the other theater had it.
Which was not really that hard.
Wait, where did he come from?
Get it up.
One of those covers of the Video Store, you remember?
Oh, this is that movie? Yep, of course. Yep, what in the hell is this and why is it on my TV? Yeah, I'm gonna have to catch this from the beginning.
What am I watching?
A bunch of people are sitting out on a curb. Guy coughs, spits into the puddle on the street. All of a sudden a car comes by, splashes the puddle onto all the passengers. Cuts to the word coronavirus.
So it's
day 100 something.
Locked in. If no one had told me, hey, there's a global pandemic right now, I would have probably not known for the first couple weeks.
The state shut down everything with any public venues. I'm unfortunately considered essential, so I'm out in the world every day and trying my best not to kill my family.
How are you guys doing with this amazing global situation we find ourselves in? Happy quarantine! What movie do you not want to wind up in the most? If we were going to be landing in an 80s, early 90s dystopian future, what is the one you're hoping that we wind up in the least, if you had to call it?
I feel like the way New York is responding, we're heading right for Escape from New
York.
People are starting to protest being in quarantine, and people are starting to get antsy and not wanting to cooperate. We're like fucking 6 months from that.
Just blow up the bridges and tunnels.
Just make the island the prison.
Yeah.
I feel like we are living in the Running Man, and we have been for a couple years now. And it's ironic because we're actually right around the date of 2018, I think.
Yeah.
2019, that movie takes place. And, like, you know, all the resources are in short supply. The world's devolved into a paramilitary zone. A fucking reality game show host is the most powerful man on the planet.
Holy shit.
There's deep fakes. They show deep fakes in that movie before that was even a fucking thing. Where they fake the whole Jesse and Arnold fighting and dying thing. There's a lot about that movie that is, like, right on the money. Fake news.
Yeah.
Fake news. Like, there is so much about that movie that really says about where we are.
God damn it, man.
We're kind of in between that and The Stand right now.
Yeah.
Where sort of the world is so divided and everyone's kind of like still around, it's sort of split up into two camps, and in one camp's a bunch of fucking assholes that thinks they're doing it all for flag or flag or however you want to, you know, you read that. But King definitely wrote Randall Flagg's last name as Flag for a reason, to kind of, you know, say, hey, all you fake ass patriots, you know, you're really doing the devil's work here.
Yeah, man.
But
just as long as Dwayne Johnson isn't doing the Schwarzenegger role, I'm fine.
Oh shit!
If he's doing the Schwarzenegger role, just fucking inject me with COVID.
Damn well, that's gonna happen.
Well, I also heard a nasty rumor that he was supposed to be Jack Burton in this Big Trouble Little China reboot sequel.
He's producing it, but I think it's just a film going through his production company.
It's not him playing, because if Kurt Russell is still alive, you better get goddamn Kurt Russell, please. If you're sequelizing or rebooting, I don't give a shit which, he better be in the damn thing. But damn, dude, right on the money. I almost makes me want to go watch Running Man right now, but I'm afraid of how much more of a horror movie it'll feel like this time around than a classic romp. But when you say all those things, you know, I think back to when I watched that movie as a kid, and I felt like those tropes were so old hat that it was easy to make fun of because they're like, yeah, look at this shit. This will never happen, right? That's why we can make movies about it, because this shit will literally never happen.
Yeah.
And like within our lifetime, after being told all those during those formers, it's just a movie. It's make believe. This shit will never happen. Don't worry. And here it's happening. You're like, I'm old enough to get that you fuckers lied to me, guys. I'm old enough to understand now that for it to be happening now, it was being set up then, and that these movies were to throw us off from thinking about it.
I personally feel like I am in Wall-E. I feel like one of the passengers.
Oh shit!
Wait, and sitting in front of a fucking screen all day.
Yeah, man. And you won't be able to get up and get yourself anything. You'll have to have the floaty chairs to move you around.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck, I could do one of them now.
Yeah, that movie when it came out, you're like, that's not going to be me, and now you're like, I'd buy one. If it was on the market, I'd get one.
I always thought the people on that ship were based on the people that queue up at Disney.
Oh yeah, that's
the fucking size of them, isn't it?
Now, especially, dude. I mean, that reminds me, I have to call them tomorrow because I have to.
You're like, one of you is going to fit in the fucking seat on this ride. Get the fuck.
The last time I was there, I was like, they need to expand the walkways here. We cannot get around. If it's not giant people, it's the people with the giant family and the four across strollers that decide to stop and look at stuff, and then you can't walk past them. But, I'm saying all this having already fully paid for a trip that now has to get rescheduled because of the pandemic, but I'm still going to go, and then I'll have fresh intel on that for you so we can have a real bitch fest about it. I'm sure things will change.
We went in November, and it was like I'm a bigger guy, but there are people much bigger than I am, and there are a lot of rides that I was fucking crying for.
Dude.
I have no idea what, like, the last time I was there, I was a kid, so like, cramming into the fucking Seven Dwarfs Mine Ride. I was like, God damn, this is ridiculous.
I'll tell you, man, the Aerosmith, did you go on the Aerosmith roller coaster, the rock and roller coaster? Yeah. That, when they push that in to make sure they get that last lock in, the last time I was on it, I was like, if I pass out and die on this ride, I guess it'll be worth it, but I actually can't breathe right now.
Profiling, they like, look at the stomach, and they're like, we gotta really, like, crank this up a couple more knots until it clicks, and it's just like, because did you ever make eye contact with a guy working there? He's just like, I'm sorry
dude,
look down. And I'm like, I know you gotta do it, man, keep me safe.
Yeah, all I could think is that kid who's also cranking it down that one last click has probably seen a fucker fatter than me fall out of this thing when it was upside down in a loop-de-loop, and the thud and shattering of bones is a sound you can never unhear. And he's like, look, dude, this ride's 10 seconds long. You're going to hold your breath and enjoy it and not die, because I can't go through that again. They give you 2 days off. 2 days is what you get when someone dies on your shift. Oh, Blaine, go ahead, man. I'm sorry. You did have your hand up, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I got lost in the whole idea that there's an Aerosmith ride there. I haven't been there in, like, over 20 years.
Yo.
Rock and roller coaster.
It is amazing. It's pretty awesome.
It's completely worth it to go and see Joe Perry's acting skills, the lack thereof, in the precursor for the ride.
That thing. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, I was going to say, what if you could make a ride out of like any band? What other bands deserve like theme park rides? Like,
Metallica. Metallica, yeah, for sure.
Meshuggah.
Ozzy? Ozzy could have a total, like, mind fuck ride, you know? Or,
dude, absolutely. And being that it's right next to Tower of Terror, you could absolutely.
Yes!
Going up the corner of the park.
Absolutely.
I would say a Miley Cyrus ride, but I think everyone's rode her already.
Oh. What's the guy's name? Thick? Robin Thick? We can talk to him.
Alan Thick's son.
Yeah, he's the one who probably knows the best.
Finger and you just go around a different butthole.
I wasn't suggesting him for a ride, but that is perfect. I was still going on the Miley Cyrus thing.
Oh, gotcha.
Holy shit. Holy shit. Three of us are crying right now. Oh, God.
I was like, such a weird suggestion, but I'll
wow.
wow.
There should be a combo ride of George Michaels and Michael McDonald. Just George Michael McDonald. Like that's actually where you get locked into like a urinal, and then you go on this splash ride of your life.
Oh shit!
They rebrand Splash Mountain.
I think the Michael Jackson ride should be like an escape room where you've got to try and escape the room for the police coming. Yes,
there you go.
That's genius, too.
Oh. The Aerosmith ride is the same thing, super easy. It's just making a Motorhead ride about them doing speed.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Nice. Like what about
like 70s, 80s Motorhead and just make that the roller coaster?
Okay, I haven't thought this out that far yet, but Rick Astley with a Rickroll ride.
Oh, and every and no, it's got a barrel roll though, dude. Every time you're moving towards like a billboard of one of the things he said he would never do to you, right? Never gonna let you down. It rolls like you literally barrel roll to the side, so it goes in loops and it rolls you. Oh man,
you think it's gonna end and you go do another turn. The roller coaster lasts 5.5 hours.
It's the only ride you get to do at the park. That's it.
There's a big sign that says exit. You do a corkscrew away from it.
Never. Oh wow! Holy good. Shit! You know I'm gonna think of some awesome ones as soon as we get off the ride. A Def Leppard ride. You're just in a cage with a leopard who can't hear anything, and it's just like walking around. And if it notices you, it attacks you. You have to survive it. There we go.
Or you have the shoulder harnesses with only one harness that works.
And then oh!
At the end of the ride, you get sugar dumped all over you.
Oh, all right. Who are we
and
forgetting?
At the end of the ride, your career goes so well, you open for Motley for a poison.
Nice.
So far, Def Leppard's fallen.
Hey, Poison actually still puts on a pretty good show.
Oh, but they do. But they do.
I saw him.
Watched the Life Hunter when I was in Disney.
Oh, really? Poison
Killing
from Disney?
Time, watching TV.
Was it like The Rock of Old Ages?
Oh, wow.
It was like Access or one of those channels, and they were showing like a Def Leppard concert from like 88 or something, and I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm not above it.
And this was just because it was like after a day at the park, you were recovering,
yeah,
or?
After like 18 straight hours of walking around, sweating my balls off. Just trying
he
to
was too fucking tired to get up and pick up the controller to change the fucking channel.
One of those rooms where the controller doesn't really work, so you're just like, I guess I'm watching local news.
And you know what? I bet you all of those remote controls have spread a lot of coronavirus before we knew what was going on. Feces all over them, man.
To be honest, they've probably been up quite a few arses.
Well, that is she's gonna kill me for saying it because I'm saying it right in front of her. But whenever we would go to a hotel, my girlfriend is an investor in wet ones, and whenever we go to the hotel, first thing we have to do is wipe down the phone and the remote control, and that's absolutely. Always her comment is like, "This could have been up someone's ass for all we know." And I'm like, "Drew agrees with you on the remote control, so just to let you know, 100%. Everybody's in on the remote control is actually a multi-use utensil provided with each room. The Gideons drop off the Bible and a remote control.
Without batteries, doesn't matter.
Trust me, it can be used.
Trust you.
It can and it has.
I don't know if you think making me repeat myself is going to somehow make the story change, or if you just don't want to hear what it is I actually have to say, but again, we changed course based on orders received on the flash band from company headquarters. Code Gold, Command Eyes Only. Standard operating procedure, as I know you are aware. Search and Rescue would rarely venture into an unregulated area without more concrete proof of life. We sure found something out there, all right.
When you watch it as a little kid, you know, it's a monster movie, it's creepy, but then there's all the weird artificial intelligence stuff, there's the, like, rapey nature of the facehuggers and all that.
Why don't you stick your face in the egg, dude? Is there an egg opening in front of you? Stick your face in there and see what happens.
When I fall asleep at night, I have this irrational fear that something is going to crawl inside and like lay eggs inside of me. I'm actually wondering now that we're talking about this, if this might have been the impetus for that.
You know, Star Wars comes out and they go, what other movies do we have set in space? Boom, Alien gets green light the next day.
Very similar to just even how our government is in preparation for something where they didn't know exactly what was in store, like specifically the xenomorphs.
Bodily fluids, and it's not just blood, there's a lot of like grease, and there's a lot of sweat. And it wasn't the blood that got me, it was the sheer amount of sweat.
We're on a mission to bring back knowledge of the xenomorph.
The end of all mankind, all wrapped up in a boat, just waiting for us to come along. You're gonna find yourself staring down the barrel of a living, breathing devil in the flesh that bleeds acid and lives to kill us.
Oh my God. All right, what futures did we hope we'd wind up in from movies? What could this pandemic lead to as a good outcome future? Like, could it lead us to Tron? What could we get to that we'd be cool with?
Demolition Man, the three seashells. I'm ready for it. I think it's one of the great mysteries of my entire life is wondering how those three seashells work. You know, you gotta imagine there's like a wet.
A lot like a TV controller.
Oh, what?
We'll set up a private conversation later. I'll show you.
Oh no! Oh no!
Demolition Man. They don't connect when they high five. They stop.
And they do that thing. Yeah.
A lot of things that we could learn from some of the weirder sci-fi futures.
Oh.
I still want hoverboards. Damn it.
Yeah.
I still want those.
Those would be awesome. And flying cars. Flying cars are the shit. I want a flying car. Traffic will be... I think we're going to get the grid from iRobot, where like the cars are all driving around at like 500 miles an hour because humans aren't allowed to drive them. So you just put in where you're going, and then you sit in the car and you do your homework. You know, the detective's like looking through his case file, and the car's going 500 miles an hour until somebody hacks that system and has all the cars crash into each other. But that's gotta happen. That's gotta happen, right? I mean, you can't do that without somebody messing it up. Oh, man.
I'm thinking Infinity War.
Sweet. I mean, at this point, why not?
Half the folk in my street die. I'm good with that.
I've been a very vocal proponent of the We Can Lose Half campaign, Thanos 2020. You know what, dude? It's time. Somebody's got to snap. We can lose half. It's either I'm in the dust or I'm left behind. Either way, it's fine.
I'm slightly back on this, but it kind of looks like Italy have went for that theory as well.
Oh, do I have to edit that? Is an entire country going to come after me?
Yeah, right.
They did create the Black Hand. I mean, they did originate the organized crime that has a lot of time on their hands. Oh man, I will say Sebastian Maniscalco had a pretty cool cameo in The Irishman. That was the one thing I did like. He was that dude they kill in front of his family.
He had a much bigger role than I thought he would.
Yeah, right? Like he was kind of like a highlighted murder. It was kind of interesting.
One of my favorite comics is Jim Norton. He was great in that. He was Don Rickles.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Like, for what, maybe 8 months, however long The Irishman was in post-production, he was joking like, he never got invited to a rap party. He was never fucking credited. He was like, I probably got cut out of this movie a year ago, and then he showed up in it. He had fucking, in a 2-minute scene, just him ripping with Sebastian Maniscalco.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was wild.
It's cool to see them making their... I mean, are there any other comedians that you guys have been following that are starting to appear in movies? I was actually just saying to Carrie, like, I can't believe Sebastian hasn't had a starring vehicle, right? Like, that's the next step once you've gotten that out of nowhere. Now all of a sudden everyone knows who you are.
He's got to be close. He had a tiny role in fucking Green Book, too.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet. I got to watch that.
He was like a brother of one of the main characters, so he's in it for maybe 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah.
But it won fucking Academy Awards. You know? It's like, Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah. And you're not doing a lot wrong, you know? Plus, he's a really funny guy. I actually tell everybody, I'm like, if you don't know a lot of Italian people, you have to watch at least one of the Sebastian Maniscalco stand-up specials, and you'll suddenly understand your Italian friends a lot better.
Or even shorter, his Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. He's done a couple
of
you can totally, them talking about being Italian in New York is like being Italian versus being Jewish in New York and how it's completely similar.
Yeah, oh yeah.
15-minute episodes, you'll get all the history you need enough.
He has a whole bit where he talks about how, you know, with they say the Italians and the Jews were so similar, it's almost like the same corporation but different divisions. And he's like, what the Jews need to start doing is let the Italians cater the Passover Seder. He's like, because I tried to go to one of these, and he's like, you know, I'm Italian. We need to have meatballs and sauce and bread on the table within 30 seconds of sitting down. And they're like, oh, yeah, we're going to read for 2 hours. And he's like, 2 hours? Are you kidding me? And I'm like, yep. I've been there where someone's like, oh, yeah, we're not going to get there for another. Dude, I might eat the seat of this car right now if we don't get some food. What are you talking about, an hour? So it's definitely those things that I'm like, when you find somebody who shines a light on your heritage in a way that you're like, I'm kind of proud of this. I dig this. Watch that guy. You'll suddenly understand everything a lot better.
Do you guys ever hear this thing about Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee that, like, someone pitched it to Seinfeld years ago, and he was like, yeah, I'm not interested, and then he just did it on his own?
Oh, one of those.
one of those kind of thing.
One of those, like...
Some guy's like, oh, I got this thing, I think it'll really work because of you. You just drive around with the other comedians in cars, and you get coffee.
Yeah.
And
he's always seemed like the guy who does what he wants when he wants, so...
Well, I know even worse than that, there was a show in the UK, and it was Comedians in Cars, and it was a comedian that would pick another comedian up and take them somewhere they needed to go that day, and they would have an interview in the car, and that was like 8 years before Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
Really?
Wow.
Yep.
So, and it was the beginning of Uber also.
It was shit English comedians. Of course it wasn't good.
Oh my god.
Half the folk in it are probably in jail right now for touching up kids.
Oh my god. That is such a problem, huh? It's like that big a deal. Like, this is one of those things again.
Everyone who was on TV in the 70s was doing it in the UK.
That's what I'm saying. Oh my god.
It's
worse than the Me Too movement, man.
And then there's ones that you're like, he looks rapey and wasn't, and you're like, how the fuck's that work? Just put him in jail anyway.
Association.
If you think about it, everyone on TV in America in like the 80s or 90s, half of them turned out to be creeps, you know, like the dad from Seventh Heaven.
Jesus, yeah.
That one coming, you know, fucking Bill Cosby. Right?
Bill Cosby, I mean, I still think Bill Cosby's like a shake the world revelation, like generationally. I mean, he was the dad. He was that trusted dad on TV. He was the Jell-O pudding guy. You're like, are you shitting me that when he wasn't on camera?
He's a chocolate pudding guy now.
Yeah. Dear God.
He just changed brand.
Dear God.
Jell-O.
Isn't the voice for like some fucking sleeping pill company for their advert nowadays making some money off of that?
Really?
That's lazy on the part of his manager.
He's right. Still in prison now. He's still incarcerated.
He'll be dead in a week. Get some money.
Wow. You know,
Even if he's innocent, he belongs in jail because he made Ghost Dad. Oh, <yeah. laughs> I really had to push that into the world.
I watched that once.
Leonard Part 6.
Yeah. Never was there a Part 1 through 5. It just started at Leonard Part 6. Which, I mean, now, all right, when stuff like that would happen, that is a total... nod to Star Wars, right? It's all the starting in episode 4 of Star Wars. This is one of the things I try to do is like, let's find origins of all this stuff, or let's find like, where did that really happen? Or is it supposed to make you think of that, right? Because who else starts in the middle and becomes this epic thing that people are like, ah, all right, even when you really fuck it up at the end, we'll still stick around. Which I still haven't watched. I have Rise of Skywalker. The Blu-ray is like sitting right over there, and I got it, and I still haven't been able to bring myself to watch it from what I've heard.
I fucking loved it.
Really?
If you're a Star Wars fan at all growing up, you'll appreciate the fan service in this movie.
Okay.
Like, and again, my whole defense for it going in, because I also heard some bad things and mixed reviews, and it kind of crushed me. But it was actually good. Like, if you're J.J. Abrams, you not only have to wrap up the last 40-plus years of heritage and storylines, right? You gotta wrap up this trilogy. Plus, the last one was a fucking turd. It was a Star Wars movie. It was a meta Star Wars movie. You gotta undo everything Rian Johnson undid from your first one and wrap that shit up too and do it in one film, 1 2-hour clip. It's really impressive what he was able to do with all those things. Because I thought the same thing, like Force Awakens, like it or love it, whatever. It was a great Star Wars movie, and yeah. Rian Johnson just did his version of Star Wars movie, which is not a Star Wars movie.
Yeah, I don't hate it the way everybody does, but
do it all over again.
Yeah,
I think. Well, I was really. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was gonna say I was really excited when JJ was coming back for the third one, because I was really dissatisfied with Last Jedi, and every time I rewatched it, I liked it a little bit less.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of finding the same thing with Rise of the Skywalker, not as extremely so, because it's like a fun, it succeeds in a basic terms of a movie. It's a movie, yeah. The things happen, the plot follows, linear line, and whatever.
Yeah.
And it works like that much better than The Last Jedi did for me. The Last Jedi just completely falls apart in every aspect with every rewatching. But some of the fan service in Rise of the Skywalker, I mean, most of it, I guess I liked. It's just that it has like a hot, you know, like a emptiness to it where it's like
a,
you
know, hollowness, would we say?
It's kind of hollow. But, you know, it's like, you know, like, oh, you think Chewie, you know, spoiler alert, everybody. But, you know, you think Chewie's dead and then, you know, he's back and you're super happy and Chewie finally gets a fucking medal and that's great. But it just doesn't, like, that's like a one-time pleasure kind of thing. Like, it doesn't hit me the same, like, the second time I see it or the third time I see it.
I haven't seen it a second time yet. I just went to theaters to see it. And,
I loved it.
You can't make The Rise of Skywalker any other way, in my opinion. Like, there's no way he could have done a third movie for that trilogy and the last of the Star Wars films in the original canon without doing all these references and fan service and stuff like that. There's just no way that was going to happen. That's just how the Star Wars universe is. Like, again, before we went to Disney, I rewatched all the Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
Because I knew Rise of Skywalker was coming out soon after. I wanted to see the new...
Oh, did you go do any of the Star Wars stuff? Did you do that?
It was awesome. Very cool. Very cool what they did. But even in the very beginning, it was very kind of based in this mythology and needing fans to exist kind of a world. Like, every sequel after the first one was extremely self-referential of itself. So by the time you get to the ninth fucking movie in the original, it's going to have some hollow points, plot points and stuff like that. So if you can get past that, you'll very much enjoy the movie. It's the definition of a finale episode of a season or a series ending. You can like it or love it, but what it's going to do is reference everything that happened before.
I'm going to try to go into it with as open a mind as I can. I am like one of these weird outlier people that I didn't hate Last Jedi, but I didn't love it either. I mean, I liked it at the time.
If you like Force Awakens, you'll like Rise of Skywalker.
And I liked Force Awakens for bringing us back from prequel land into real Star Wars movies again. But, you know, when I even heard Palpatine laughing in the trailer, I was just like, oh, fuck me. Like, I was kind of like, the kind of storyteller I've grown into and
I thought the same exact thing.
The kind of stuff I like, I was like, all right. That's
because, again, you got to remember, he had to undo everything.
No, I get you. I get you.
He obviously had a plan for how these three movies was going to go. And I would love to have sat in on a meeting where he hired Rian Johnson to even do a fucking movie.
Yeah.
He had to fucking figure out how to, like, when he made Snoke just a fucking nobody in the Last Jedi, he's like, wait a second. He had to find a way to make it work.
Yeah.
I really think JJ just should have done all three. It would have been so much better.
Totally, absolutely.
Even if Rian Johnson had done all three, it would have been better because it wouldn't have been so disconnected.
Right.
I don't want Rian Johnson to have done all three, but it would have been better as a trilogy.
Absolutely. Rian Johnson has never been a mythology guy. That's the thing. Like, he's not that kind of director. He's a phenomenal writer-director. Knives Out was probably the best movie that came out last year.
I did enjoy Knives Out.
He needs to be in control of the whole thing, not just one disjointed episode after another.
But I mean...
Yeah, we'll see it.
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead. No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. I mean,
I was just going to say. Oh, sorry. Yeah, you go ahead.
I don't know if I don't know how much I agree that he's not a mythology guy, though, because I look at a movie like Looper, and that movie had a lot of world built into it in a single serving film. Maybe he's not a mythology guy in creating the enough foundation to make more than one film. You know what I mean? I think he's more of like, I'll do myth.
Like, I was going to say the whole like fourth wall kind of concept and time travel. Like, that's why Looper worked for him, but he also loves to break down those genre conventions.
Yeah.
With Knives Out, that's a very basic, simple format, the whodunit murder mystery.
Right.
He completely flipped it on his head. Like, yeah. I would love to have seen a Rian Johnson Star Wars trilogy and what that looked like, but Last Jedi did not fucking fit
in this
trilogy or any of the Star Wars movies.
Looper worked because Bruce Willis remembered he could do more than one facial expression in a movie.
Because he had to.
Also, Bruce Willis is a cunt. I don't even care if I put that out there.
Do not edit that one out.
That one in.
I liked, and I think he had to realize that because he had somebody mimicking him, so it's almost like, oh shit, is that what I really look like? I got, all right, hold on. Hold on. Let me rein this in.
It's like, if that is, that all you do? Because I can totally do that.
Yeah. We'll be done in lunch. We'll be done with this whole movie by lunch. I swear to God. I swear. Ryan, we'll be done by lunch and I'm going home.
Half the Bruce Willis movies, you could basically just substitute him now for that guy that stands in for Steven Seagal when it's from behind.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, what is he doing anymore? What was the last thing? I mean, besides Death Wish, which I still didn't see, the Death Wish remake.
Was that Bruce Willis?
Yeah.
Oh, God, please, no.
Dime a dozen movies that go straight to streaming every year.
Is he not pumping his ex-wife? Is that not what he's been up to in lockdown?
Oh,
right.
While not, because he's got, like, a cunt partner, but he's shacked up with Demi Moore.
No shit.
That's the most interesting thing he's done in years.
Yeah, the most interesting thing he's done in years is Demi Moore.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's a shame because I fucking love Bruce Willis. Yeah. We actually just rewatched some of the Die Hard movies, and it's like, even as late as fucking the mid-90s, he gave a shit.
Yeah, man.
Well, you know, you could really, I hate to say it, but you could see him kind of falling out of favor over the course of, like, the New School Diehards and the Expendables movies, right? Like, I mean, that first Expendables movie, we were all just shitting our pants that Arnie Sly and Bruce did one fucking scene together. We were like, holy shit, this is incredible! And it was great, and the first one, you could see, like, oh man, like, Bruce Willis is, like, such a better actor than either of these guys. It's like, wow, it's like Bruce Willis is almost a thespian, Stallone's almost an actor, and Arnold almost speaks English. And I love all those guys. I'm not like one of my favorite dudes on earth. I'm not knocking
them. Oh, yeah.
And I think
Glass Table.
And I think he is a good actor. Much better writer, though. But
sure, he wrote Rocky, right? He
wrote all the Rockies, yeah. All the Rambos. You know, based off a book, but the Rambos. But
yeah.
And like the second one, you know, it's like they're all making fun of themselves, and you're like, oh, this is great. These dudes have like. Oh, I love who they are now. Just looking back and laughing. Like, this is awesome. Then the third one, he's like, I don't want to do it unless I get $1 million a day. I'll never work more than an hour a day. I'll never do all this shit. And Stallone, like, blasted him on Twitter.
No shit.
Fuck it. Like, fuck it. You, like, $750 a day is not enough? Well, guess what? Harrison Ford thought it is. I can't wait to work with him. Unlike that lazy asshole Bruce Willis.
Oh, wow.
That was all right around the same time, too, because that was, what, 2010 was Cop Out. That was the worst.
Oh, my God. You know what? Yeah. I heard that, and that broke my heart, man, because I remember a time where I thought if I could even write a movie that would then maybe get made and Bruce Willis might be in it, I might get a chance to just, like, meet the guy for a day. And like hang out, and now you're just like, no, dude, you see that guy coming, you run the other fucking direction. All right, do not, when they say don't meet heroes, he is the one hero you don't want to meet, because he just sounds like the most like ridiculous asshole these days. And you're
Bruce
like,
Willis hated Kevin Smith for the Jersey Girl movie, because in the original script it wasn't Will Smith, it was Bruce Willis, and it was the Bruno thing that he did, the music that he was taking the piss out of the film. And he has no sense of humor about making fun of himself.
Wow.
Drives me crazy. I haven't seen it, but he did the Comedy Central roast of himself, too. That's what it... And even, like...
Yeah, but...
Was it tame?
comedy roasts on.
Well, there's something.
They got like $2 million for that.
Oh, they gave him $2 million for the comedy roast.
Yeah, they gave him $2 million for the comedy roast.
So he earned his money then. What were you going to say, Chris?
Which is more than he's earned for a movie.
No shit.
It's been a while, sure.
I think there's something narcissistic to like wanting to have yourself be roasted in a small sense. And I say some of my friends have been roasted and I've hosted them. It's a lot of fun. I love doing it. But if you're like famous and shit, it's like, well, I want to hear everyone talking about me for 3 hours. Yeah, like this is going to be a great time. You know, like I think you kind of have to be in love with yourself to do that, and to be an actor too, probably, I guess. I don't know, but yeah, I think Bruce Willis has a lot of things that you're not allowed to joke with him about, like
yeah.
You're not allowed to joke about him being bald and shit, like you're not allowed to fucking, I'm sure you can't
hitting
make him. More cracks. You know, you can't make fun of his awful music, you know,
and
a lot of things that are...
I mean, the Kevin Smith
tried to forget about that.
Back to yourself.
The Kevin Smith thing. He said that one of the stories he says he talks about is how he referenced an episode of Moonlighting to try to get him to do like a scene. Like, remember, like when you did in Moonlighting, and from what he describes, that Bruce was like, "Are you fucking kidding me? That was 30 years ago. You expect me to remember that shit?" And then he still, like, he wound up finally doing a take the way Kevin wanted. He goes, "I did that one from you, you know." And it was like, "Well, fucking thanks, man." You know, like it just made you sound like, dude, I don't. When I hear shit like that, I almost feel like maybe I don't really want to get into filmmaking. Like, is that what I'm going to be dealing with? Like, it's not going to be enough that I figured out how to get the money to do this. I got this shit. Go ahead, I'm sorry, Drew.
I think one of the big issues there, though, is Kevin Smith's like a fucking teddy bear guy, and Bruce Willis is a bully that needs to be bullied to get a good performance out of him.
Oh, no
shit.
Look
at the directors that have been able to do it. It's folk that don't take any shit.
Like John McTiernan.
If he was an actor on that set, I would beat the fuck out of him behind his trailer day one.
Just to a stat like prison.
I have a really good makeup designer on that.
I would love to see as like a sort of a punishment, like maybe it's a sadist in me, but like to see Bruce Willis do like all the Avatar sequels with James Cameron. Like,
oh shit!
James Cameron is brutal. He just he's fucking famous for like he has a board that he nails people's nail guns people's cell phones to if their phones go off during a take.
Oh shit!
He fucking nail guns your phone to a board. Like.
Oh my god! I guess you can afford to do this shit, you know.
Joked to you about this on our last podcast that James Cameron, whoever does VFX for him must fucking hate their lives because every single movie he does pushes the boundary by like 5 or 10 years. Like, The Abyss. I was listening to a podcast about the making of The Abyss, and it was like, it still holds up. Like, that's not fucking bad. It's 1988, man. Like, he pushes the line so fucking far forward, he's got to be a complete monger on set. Like,
yeah. That's
all the way around. I think T2 still holds up incredibly well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I haven't watched it in 4K, but I've watched it in Blu-ray on a 60-inch plenty of times. And, like, when you see, like, the T-1000 morph in through the helicopter windshield,
yeah,
the reflections of the other guy in the cockpit,
yeah,
like, as it's remorphing, it's like, dude, how could they do that on, like, a low-power Mac from, like, you know, 1990 or whatever it was when they were doing it?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like,
they figured it out first. They were the ones who laid the groundwork for everybody else after that, right? Like, you know, that was his Star Wars moment. And then it wasn't until the Matrix trilogy that things really got kicked up a notch after that, as far as the technology goes. But we just watched Aliens recently, and that... Aliens, I mean... Aliens is, like, still hardcore, man, you know?
You've been listening to the Hollow Nine Network, bringing you the very best in fan-made media. That's the word hollow, the number 9, INE. Now broadcasting from our new home on the web, hollownine.com. where you can find info on all of our awesome programming as well as the team behind the shows. Leave us your feedback, join in the conversation, and be a part of the action. Find the Hollow Nine Network on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. Rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you find your podcasts. Email us at info@hollownine.com or at hollownine podcast@gmail.com. Join in the fun. Hollow Nine.
The New Jersey HorrorCon reputation is exploding. The atmosphere you guys had created. New Jersey HorrorCon was my entree into an actual horror convention.
Wow. Love it.
And you guys are doing a great job.
That is amazing. I'm super proud and super inspired to hear that. I mean, that's a testament to the community of cons and, you know, of horror and stuff in general.
My God.
Oh, it's wow. Carmen Electra.
Hey, hey,
wow,
hey,
we are all giving high fives to an absolute icon.
This is incredible.
Trailblazer, amazing. You are amazing. Carmen Electra,
absolutely.
Be well.
Safe.
Thank you so much.
Love.
Have a good one. Be well.
So
you can't see it on radio, but
oh,
she's
my
still
God.
Got it.
Yes,
that's
absolutely.
My wife
still
right
got
my
it.
Wife gets the picture of Carmen Electra.
The wife does it. There you go, wife. Good job, wife. That's a keeper. That wife's a keeper.
Are you having a blast?
I am having a blast. Are you having a blast?
I am.
This place is awesome, right?
What's your most favorite part of the whole day so far?
When the guy dressed like Gene Simmons from Kiss stopped in front of our booth and we put Strutter on and he did a lip sync to the whole thing.
Guys, if you haven't subscribed yet, go ahead and do that.
Yesterday, I bumped into Michael Winslow. I got to have this whole experience where Leslie Easterbrook was lost and looking for her autograph table, and I got to take her all around.
It's spooky, actually. I'm going to turn the chair around a little bit
sure.
so I can see you.
Oh, all right.
Keep an eye on you. I saw you and I thought, this guy knows everything.
Oh.
Terrific.
Oh, really?
And
oh.
sound in here with
cool.
you.
Thank
yeah.
you. Thank you. Yeah, it's
really
amazing
clear.
How it... Damon Della Greca of Slasher, this awesome app.
I wanted to do something that would really make it for these people who just love to create, who love horror.
Thank you for what you're doing, dude. It's
Thank
great
you.
That you put this together.
Absolutely, man. It's always good to see you.
We're trying to have as much fun, and we want people to have fun with us, and that's why we got guys like you stop by the table, hang out. We get to do the radio thing for a little bit.
He's from Jersey. I'm from the South, so.
And I'm from the Bronx, so.
So we're all still friends. That's good.
So we're all good. Daniel Frankenstein. I'm representing psychothematicmedia.com. Call ourselves a creative collective.
My name is Gail Bykowitz.
Yeah, I'm Hector De La Rosa. We're partners in crime here. We're doing special effects makeup, and we're also independent filmmakers.
When I ran into them earlier, they were definitely vampire cowboys.
I love Better Off Dead. I love Bill and Ted's. And I'm just so glad that you guys remember those films.
Oh my God. Those movies, I would go to school and just try and talk like Bill and Ted all day.
No
like,
triumphant.
I want to go back $2, man.
Right?
I've walked around wanting those $2 for how many years now?
This is fantastic. But of course, I'm
never.
We
need some language lessons.
David Clone from the Hollow Knight Network, and by now you know what it's time for you to do. Let's go on over to NewJerseyHorrorCon.com, get yourself some tickets, and check out this awesome event where we are lifetime sponsors. We will be there from now until infinitum with all these incredible guests that are going to be at the next one, bringing you all the awesome from the show floor right to your digital door, right here at Hollow9.com at the New Jersey Horror Con and Film Festival.
Did you get it? I hope you got it.
I got it.
That's good. See you soon.